You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
If you have your Bibles, open to Hebrews chapter 11. I'm sure you're aware, but in 2 weeks, I'll be standing before our pastors and church leaders in Brazil teaching the RBBI again, and I know that you're going to be holding the rope of prayer for me. I'm already thinking about being there, if I can be honest, but there's a part of the RBBI that I dread every year. This is going to sound strange, but in Brazil, they love taking pictures. Now, I'll never forget the first year I was there. There was about 27 of us. And a photographer tried to get a group picture of all 27 of us. Have you ever been in a group trying to take a group picture and you're trying to do it exactly the way a photographer wants it to be done? Imagine 27 men all trying to have their best smile, eyes open. It took a little while. Now, the reason I'm dreading going back this year is because I was told last week that this year, instead of 27, we've actually grown to 190 people who are registered to come and hear us teach the book of Galatians, pastors and their church leaders. So I'm already imagining what that's going to be like when that photographer's trying to get 190 of us, 191 actually, on the same page at the same time. Now, I have to be honest with you, I love taking my phone and taking pictures of individual pastors, but I've never taken a group picture. It's just difficult to capture the essence of that group in a photograph, I think. Well, guess what? Under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, the preacher preaching to this young Jewish house church in or near the city of Rome captures God's people of faith. So if you'll stand with me this morning and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 29 through 31, we're going to see two portraits of God's people. Now, I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle to see all the faces in a picture if it's a big group. So I want you to listen really hard and carefully, and I want you to watch closely because I want you to see all the faces in these two pictures. It's important. So don't just hear the words. See the faces in your mind as we read these three verses that are concentrating on two portraits of God's people. Verse 29 of chapter 11 says, "By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies." Father, one more time, we ask you to do what only you can do, and that's anoint us on this first day of a brand new week. And Father, our prayer first is for our speaker, that you'll bring back to his remembrance those things he studied this week, and that you'll anoint him with your Spirit to deliver not his thoughts, but your word to us. And Father, we pray for ourselves that you would anoint us to hear the truth of your word. And Father, you know my heart. I do not ever want to be a speaker only. And I know I represent everyone here, Father, when I say to you, and none of us want to be a hearer only. Father, we desire to be doers of your word. So again, we ask a second time, do only what you can do. And that's anoint us to speak and anoint us to hear and then anoint us to apply this to our life. And it's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen. Like me, I think you sense there's a change this morning. In this first part of Hebrews chapter 11, we've been talking about the faith of individuals. We started with Abel. Last week, we talked about Moses, 9 individual people in a row. We saw what they did by faith. And yet in our first 2 portraits this morning, they're not portraits of individuals, but they are portraits of God's people. Now I want you to imagine with me, we're part of this first group of people. By faith, we crossed the Red Sea as dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. Imagine your face with my face in this picture. Wow. Now, when photographers take pictures, they sometimes just they don't just want your face and your body. They want the right scenery to capture that moment. So in this portrait, I want us to get the scene. Water ahead. Enemy behind. We have just celebrated Passover. Our family killed a lamb. We applied the blood to the door of our home. And we're now still clutching our firstborn because our firstborn was saved from death because we put the blood on the door and we trusted God's word about the blood of the lamb. And yet we're hearing the cry of the Egyptians as they lost their firstborn. And where they wanted us to serve them, they're now telling us to leave, to get out of the country. They're even giving us their valuables if we'll just leave. And so we're leaving. We're in this big group of people. We're known as the children of Israel. And we're on the road. We're on the path to the promised land. And all of a sudden, there's this Red Sea in front of us. But yet we hear Pharaoh's army behind us. And the photographer's taking a picture. Water ahead, the enemy behind. In our fleshly minds, this appears to be a roadblock. Whew. You ever been in a roadblock before? Now, what I'm going to submit to you is if we look at this closely, this is not a roadblock, but it's actually a glory bump. Did y'all catch that? Have you ever noticed sometimes in society we have this tendency in an automobile to want to get somewhere too fast? And if we get there when we want to get there, driving at the speed we would like to drive, we could endanger people around us. So sometimes owners of businesses put speed bumps on their property, and sometimes the road department puts speed bumps on the road. And how many of you have ever come to a speed bump and went, "Yay, praise the Lord, I got to slow down"? No. Right? We growl, we complain. That's what's going on here. I want you to listen to me. When the children of Israel face this Red Sea, it's not a roadblock, it's a glory bump. I promise you there's been times in your life when you have faced glory bumps. And you know what we sometimes do at Glory Bumps? We complain, we bellyache just like the children of Israel did because we don't like it. You know what God's trying to do sometimes in our lives? He's trying to slow us down. Because he knows if we get to where we're going at our speed, when we get there, we won't be who we're supposed to be and we won't be ready to do what he wants us to do. So he puts a bump in the road. Not because we're going to be a danger to others, but because we're going to be a danger to ourselves. We're now facing the glory bump. And what do? We complain. We gripe. We don't want to die here beside this. See, we had rather have died in Egypt. We had it really good, Moses. And then what did God lead Moses to do? He led him to raise the rod of God, the stick. And when he raised it, the Red Sea parted. And when it parted, it created faith in the followers of God, the people of God. And they quit complaining, and in faith, they stepped down into the bed of the sea and walked across it as on dry land. Why could they do this? Because God caused this wind to start blowing and it stopped the flowing of the sea. And there's this big wall of water. And now all of a sudden the land is dry. And by faith, every Israelite crossed over. Now, could we just use our sanctified imagination for just a moment? Can you imagine by faith crossing the Red Sea as on dry land, and you look this direction, and whoa, there's this wall of water, and all of the fish are clapping their fins because we are walking to the other side on dry land. They're encouraging us to go on. Woo, glory! And the last one gets over. And then you know what Egypt did? Everybody in that army of Pharaoh, they decided to do what we did, and they attempted it. But it didn't work. They were all drowned. Wow. See, I believe sometimes when God's people exercise faith in what God says is true of us, it sometimes causes the world to want to be like us and imitate what we're trying to do, but they never can. Because the only reason we can do what we're doing is because we're people of faith and the world is not a people of faith. Does that make sense? Now, I want to give fair time here because I've read, you've read too, where the liberal scholars say the Red Sea was not this big sea of deep water, but it was this giant swamp. And it was just a few inches deep. So for just a moment, I'm going to go with that this is a Red Sea swamp, not an actual Red Sea sea like we imagine. Now, can I just be honest? Being a country kid, I'd rather walk in the lake as to walk in a swamp. Because when I walk in a lake, that ground is hard enough to hold the water up and form a bottom, and I can walk on it even though I'm in water. But when I'm in the swamp, water's at my ankles, but I'm 2 foot under. Agreed? And my boots are way back there. Been there, done that? So, I have no problem with God taking a swamp and drying it out and the children of Israel walking across as on dry land. Amen? But here's where I get really, really excited. Imagine this swamp 2 inches deep with water and God drowns all of Pharaoh's army in 2 inches of water. Glory be to God. Woo! He is a big God. Amen? Now, y'all ready for this? were standing as a people with the water ahead of us, the enemy behind us, but by faith, we're now on the other side. But now I've got to imagine, why is this a glory bump? What does God want me to know? Why did God do this miracle to create this faith in me? Us as a people. It's because of this. Before we get to where we're going, and when we get to where we're going, we're going to need to be a people of faith. And we're going to need to believe that if God can get us out of Egypt, he can get us in to the promised land. Amen? You ready for this? God has brought us out. And he wants us to get in. And the reason we as a church have had some of the glory bumps that we've had is so that we'll understand in our future when we get ultimately where God's wanting us to get, we will be who he wants us to be so that we can do what he wants us to do. And that's how we look at our past. And that's how we look at our glory bumps. Now look at this second picture. You looking? It's a different picture. Water is now behind us, and the enemy is ahead of us. First picture, water ahead, enemy behind. Second picture, back-to-back pictures, water behind, enemy ahead. Now let's try to do this. Let's look at the faces. You looking with me? What do you notice? They're different. It's not the same people. Can I tell y'all what I'll do at the end of the RBBI when that photographer gives me the official RBBI picture of 2026? If there are 190 people, I will look within those 190 people and see how many of those original 27 are still in the picture. And here's what I already know. There's a few that won't be there because of death. Because of personal sin on some of their parts, they'll not be at the RBBI this year. You realize this, right? The people in picture number one had enough faith to come out, but they didn't have enough faith to go in. They had enough faith to flee Pharaoh, but they didn't have enough faith to fight the battle of the enemy. And now, because when God brought them to where they were supposed to be, they weren't ready. So that when they were standing with water ahead of them again, and they sent the spies in, and the spies come back and said they're like giants, we're like grasshoppers. This people of faith who had the faith to cross the river didn't have faith. They didn't learn what God wanted them to learn in their glory bump moment. And now they're complaining, they're bellyaching, and they're griping, and they wish they just died in Egypt, not here in the wilderness. And they talk about the glory days. And everyone on that day, when Israel disobeyed God and didn't go in, everyone that was 20 years and older didn't get to go in. They all died in the wilderness. See, these are back-to-back pictures in the chapter, but they're 40 years apart. You know who else isn't in this picture? Moses. That great man of faith that we've been talking about had a moment to where, because of the complaining, belly aching of the people of God, he was supposed to have spoke to this rock to give them water. And instead of speaking to the rock, he hit it with a stick. And God said, you'll not go into the promised land. Wow. Moses led them out. But he did not get to lead them in. But now in this picture, they're in. Water's behind them. They've went through the Jordan River. But the enemy is ahead, this city. A strong walled city. Now, can I pause here just for a moment? This is personal to me. And I hope I can share honestly with you and you understand my heart. I sometimes think we give our pastors and leaders too much glory and credit for what God's doing among his people. And I think this is why we stop. And we're not talking about Moses. We're not talking about Joseph. We're not talking about Jacob. We're not talking about Isaac. We're not talking about Abraham. We're not talking about Noah. We're not talking about Enoch. We're not talking about Abel. You know who we're talking about? People. People. And this passage isn't talking about the faith of Moses. Or even the faith of Joshua. It's talking about the faith of God's people. Moses is dead. Wow. He's not in the picture. Would Israel have ever believed they could have went in without Moses as their leader? Of course they wouldn't have. But I want y'all to hear Brother Ricky's heart. I've been with you 40 plus years as your pastor. God doesn't build his people around a pastor or a leader or a person. He builds his people around himself. And Hardin Baptist Church isn't built around its pastors. Hardin Baptist Church is built around God. Amen? And so here's what I want to say to you. Those of us at Hardin who's in the first picture, we're here today and we're in the second picture too. Amen? Because our faith is not in our pastors. Our faith is in God. But here's why we trust our pastors at Hardin. And this is clear when you read the first five chapters of Joshua. It wasn't God's will for Moses to lead them in just to get them out, but it was God's will for Joshua to lead them in. And so there's a time in a church's life where a pastor gets us to where we are, but someone else is going to take us to where we're supposed to be. If we learn the lesson of the glory bumps. Because the glory bumps cause us to have faith in God and to understand that what we've experienced in our past and we're experiencing now is getting us ready for the next place we're at. Because in that place, we want to be who God wants us to be and we want to be doing what God wants us to do. And here's what scripture says. The God of Moses is also the God of Joshua. So the people who followed Moses because he was following God could also follow Joshua because he was following God too. Amen. And can I just say this? As Brother Ricky gets older, thank you. The God of Brother Ricky is the God of Brother Corey. And it's not about me or Corey. It's about us, the people of God, to be a people of faith. And I want you to watch this. Joshua was one of the two spies with Caleb who said when they went into the land, hey, yes, they're giants, we're grasshoppers, but guess what grasshoppers eat for lunch? They eat giants. But nobody listened. And that generation's gone. Everyone that was 20 and older except Joshua and Caleb. And now Joshua all of a sudden looks up and the Jordan River's behind him. And Jericho's ahead. And can I tell you what he did? He did three things. He did a spiritual inventory that revealed this to him. Whoa. While we were in the wilderness for those 40 years, we had a lot of children born, and none of those children have ever been circumcised. How could we forget to circumcise our children? The sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Now get ready for this. We're getting ready to go into battle against the Canaanites. And Joshua wants to have a circumcision party. Can I just say that's not wise? Physically? To do that to your male soldiers at that, you do that when they're a little bitty baby, but you do. And they circumcise all the men. Wow. Because you know what he wanted every soldier to have when he went into battle? He wanted him to have the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Now, can I talk to us as a church just a minute? There are many of us here, and I'm just wondering if there's anyone here who's been born again but has not received the seal yet of the new covenant. You have not submitted to the Lord for believers' baptism. You have not went into the water, come up out of the water so that you could show everybody that your faith is in Jesus and that the old person you were is dead and you're now a new person in Christ. Now listen to me. I want you to get over that argument about whether or not you have to be baptized in order to go to heaven, because the answer is no and yes. How dare we believe we can put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and then not identify with him publicly by going down into the water and come up out of the water to signify our faith is in Jesus and that we, the sinner, is dead, but now I'm a brand new person of God. So I encourage us to follow the leadership of Joshua and submit to the covenant sign of being a part of the church of Jesus Christ and its believers' baptism by immersion. Amen? Guess what else he did? You ready for this? He said, hey guys, we're in the land. Eat. Eat. Because you know what they've been eating to this point, right? They've been eating manna. And now they're not in the wilderness more. They're in the actual land. And there's fruit growing everywhere. And they start eating of the fruit. And you know what happened when they started eating of the fruit? The manna quit falling from heaven. Whoa. Now, I don't want us to overanalyze this, but I want us to be clear. Those of us who first generation, we come through the crossing of the Red Sea. We've been through the wilderness. We're now in the land where God wants us to be. There comes a time when we have to eat of what's happening today in the church. And we don't eat based on what we ate in the past. Our diet might change a little bit. Because we're not who we used to be when there was less than 100 of us. There's now many, many hundreds of us. And it's okay not to live off of the past, but to enjoy the blessings God is bringing us today as the people of God, being where we're supposed to be. Amen? And then I'll show you what else happened. He saw God and recognized him. But first, he just thought he saw a man. This man showed up and he had a sword, dressed for combat, and Joshua, knowing what they're going to have to do, just says to the man, simple question, you for us or against us? And the man said, neither. Hold it, just answer the question. You for us or against us? You know, so the man said, I am the commander of the Lord's army. And when he said that, you know what Joshua did? He fell down and worshiped him. This was not a man. This was not an angel. This is a theophany. God appearing in a form that Joshua could see. And he recognized him as God, and he gave him what he deserved, and that was his worship. And you know what God said to him? Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. He said the same thing to Joshua that he said to Moses. I bet the children of Israel told that story about the burning bush many, many times, don't you? And now Joshua, following Moses, leading God's people, has that moment where he's in the presence of God and he recognizes him and he takes off his sandals. As a church, as we go forward, let's pray and trust that our pastor recognizes the presence of God and is willing to take off his sandals because he knows he's standing on holy ground. Amen. Now watch this. The two spies, they're in the city. And in the book of Joshua chapter 2, guess what we learn? They're staying in the house of a prostitute. Now, because of the audience and younger age, we will not talk about, but I think everybody understands what a prostitute is. And when she sees the two Israelite spies in the city, you know what she says to them? I'm going to paraphrase this Dexter terminology, okay? Where have you been? Why has it taken you this long to get here? The moment we heard of what your God did in drying up the river, and you walked across it on dry land, and he drowned Pharaoh's army. The moment we heard that story, knowing you was heading our way, our hearts melted and our spirit died. And we've been afraid of your God and you ever since we heard that. Generation number one on this side of the river saw them as giants. But they were already defeated because they had already heard the news of what God had done for us, and it created faith at that moment. And now we're at the place to be who God wants us to be a people of faith and cross this next river, and we won't. Because we had a faith that would get us out, but we didn't have a faith that would cause us to fight the battle that needed to be fought to get in the land and be the people God wants us to be. And now Rahab says, we know that your God is the God of heaven and the God on earth. Now, y'all ready for this? Now God speaks to Joshua and he says to Joshua, here's the plan. I want you to pick out 7 priests who can blow the trumpet. I want you to get priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant from the men who've been circumcised, I want you to take those men of war. I want you to divide them into two groups. I want you to put the first group of them in front. Then I want you to have the priests who are going to blow the trumpet. Then I want you to have priests with our covenant. Then I want you to have the other men who are our soldiers. And then we're all going to follow. And for 6 days in a row, we're going to walk around the city. And while we walk around the city, the trumpets are going to be blown by the priests. But we, the people, for 6 days, we're not going to say a word. We're going to be quiet. And on the seventh day, we're going to go around six times. We're not going to say a word. But on the seventh time, when you give the command, we're all going to shout. And the walls of the city are going to fall by faith. That is a weird battle plan. Agreed? Now you got to get this picture. The enemy's inside that city. See, in the biblical world, when there was someone who was coming into the land, they would surmise, and if their soldiers could defeat them, they would meet them, have a battle, win. But if they knew they were going to lose, they would get behind the city, close the gates, close the walls. They had enough food and water that they were going to just ride it out. There's no heart and there's no spirit in the soldiers in the city. I want you to watch this. They're camping 2 miles away from Jericho, we think. Soldiers, priests with horns, Ark of the Covenant, soldiers, all of us. And for 2 miles, and then the distance around the city, which would have been miles, we can't say a word. You ever tried to keep your kids quiet on the car going somewhere? Are we there yet? Shh. When we gonna? Shh. I'm shh. Do you? Shh. Total silence. 6 days. And then six times around. Now I'm using my sanctified imagination here. But I'll tell you what I think's going on. What did generation number one do from the time they crossed the Red Sea till they got to the bank of the Jordan River? They bellyached, they complained, criticized, agreed, thought about the glory days. Even though they had a faith that brought them out, they never had a faith that made them one. Now, being a pastor of a church, here's how I know how this works. Some of us have individual faith, but we don't have group faith. Did you catch that? So you know what we do? Because of our individual faith, we've never really become part of the big group, but we've got our group within the group. And we know how everything ought to be. And we're constantly criticizing, constantly evaluating, constantly... Matter of fact, we even have some holy prayer huddles. Man, we need to pray for our pastor that. No, we're not praying for him to follow God's will. We're praying for him to understand what we want. And we have this group and that group and this 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 group. And we never become one. You listening to me? So here's what God said. Zip it. We're not going to have any complaining. We're not going to have any belly aching. We're not going to have any criticizing. We're not going to have any doubting. Just be quiet. And be part of the group. Because God wants our personal faith to issue into something bigger than our personal faith, and that's a group faith. So you know what they did for 6 days? They marched around quietly. And all you could hear was the trumpet. And then they went back, and 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 they went back. But now, Joshua says, hey, six times we're going around. But be ready on the seventh, because on the seventh, when I give the command, I want all of us to shout. And when they shouted, why did they shout? Because they believed when they shouted that the walls would fall, and by faith the walls of Jericho fell, because the people were one, and in that unity they displayed the faith of God. Amen? Oh, come on, amen? I want you to see this. They're now where they're supposed to be. Demonstrating who they're supposed to be, the people of God. But to demonstrate who God is, it took all of them, not just one of them, or two of them, or three of them. It took all of them. And I want to say this to us. I'm just wondering if maybe this is the reason God's been so gracious to us, to let us become who we are as a group. Because there's some people that he wants to know who he is. And it's not just the faith of a few that's going to influence them. It's going to take the face of all of us being one, demonstrating we are the people of God. Amen. Amen. Rahab came to faith in God because she saw the faith of God's people, and she saw who he was. She was a prostitute. And she's the next picture. Because you know what faith did? Faith in the group caused her to put faith in God. And it brought salvation to her and her family. And while everybody else died, she and her family lived. And she took her place with God's people. And you know what happened, right? She got married. The prostitute got married. And you know who her great-great-grandson was? King David. Woo, glory. The Son of God, the Son of David's great-great-grandmother was Rahab, who came to faith because of this people. Not the faith of Joshua, not the faith of Moses, the faith of the people. Wow. God has a plan for us, and I think only heaven one day will reveal maybe who got influenced with the gospel because of the faith of Hardin Baptist Church. See, here's what God's ultimate plan was for this people. He brought them out of Egypt to get them to this land called Canaan, because Canaan was a land bridge. If you traveled north and south, you had to go through Canaan, the land bridge. If you traveled east to west, you come through Canaan, went to one of the Canaanite ports, and then you traveled on the Mediterranean west. And so what did God want to do? He wanted to get people to Canaan. Why did he want to get his people to Canaan? Because he wanted everybody who passed through that land to know one day God's going to send a Messiah. And then the Messiah was born, and everybody coming through that land heard about the Messiah and why the Messiah came. The Messiah come to die a death on a cross, to redeem Jews and Gentiles, and to create a new people of God, the church of Jesus Christ. And guess what? God's plan is not for us to go to Israel. No. No. He doesn't want his people in a certain place and everybody come there to know about him. He's put his people in every place on the planet. We don't ask the world to come to us. We go to the world. And I pray we've had enough glory bumps in our past that none of us miss out on this. God's not done with Hardin Baptist yet. And our glory days are not in our past. Our glory days are in our future, because we are one and we're going to stay united, and we're going to hope and pray that God takes our faith and influences other people's faith as they see who His people really are. Amen. There's going to be many Rahabs in heaven because of our faith. Because God will use our faith to show them how they can have faith. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for this opportunity to walk through Hebrews 11, 29 through 31 and see these two portraits of group faith. May we at Hardin truly have group faith. And may our faith influence others. And Father, I'm so thankful for all the Gen 1s in this church who are now Gen 2. And we didn't die in the wilderness because we didn't believe you could accomplish your purpose. We believed you could accomplish your purpose. Thank you, thank you for letting us stand here now with the water behind us and the enemy still ahead of us. But we know you've defeated that enemy. And so therefore, we're going to walk by faith and be the people that you've called us to be. And Father, we understand the world doesn't start thousands of miles away from us. It starts next door. Starts in our own home. Because Father, we have family members. We have neighbors. We have work associates. We have people we go to school with. We have people on our teams. We have people who work for us who do not know you. And we want to have the same fervor to share Christ with them that we do when we send our pastor and our mission teams to Brazil and Nicaragua and Costa Rica and other places around the world. Thank you, Father, that by faith, Hardin Baptist Church exists. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.